70 or so. Few spotty sprinkles are still possible, but we are looking at chances of a storm or two after 4 o'clock. I don't think that those will be severe. I think a lot of the stronger ones will stay well south of us. And we're really not looking at tip nothing too crazy today. I think tomorrow afternoon and into Saturday is when we're going to get hit, drenched, severe storms, and maybe even up to 3 inches of rain possible. Ooh. So we've got a wet weekend ahead. Let's just enjoy today.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Very well put. And it's great to have you back with us, Brittany. We're looking forward to hanging out more tomorrow. You have yourself a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Best in the business right there, our friend Brittany Merlot. Yeah. Back joining us. We're always happy to have her back. That's fantastic. Melissa and I got a great show lined up for you. We're going to get you ready for it. It's Friday Eve. We'll get you ready for the weekend. We got some good things coming up. Not only do we have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club around the corner, we'll also get into a fun one, I think, Melissa. Employees are being lured back to work by desks.
Lured.
Yeah, by desks.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into that. It is the summer solstice, as Brittany was saying, the longest day of the year. I want to get into some random interesting stuff about that. That'll be coming up for you. And then, of course, we've got the 9 o'clock hour that'll be coming up. And we're looking forward to that. It's a Thursday. That means that we will have our Pet of the Week in this week.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward. It's going to be fun. A big thank you to Johnson & Sons Chrysler Dodge and Jeep Dealership for sponsoring that segment. We greatly appreciate them doing that.
Indeed.
We'll also get into some local entertainment. I want to talk a little rafters in that segment. And we've got a lineup change starting next week, everybody. We got to start talking more and more about.
Yes, indeed. We do.
That's all coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour, along with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Oh, and geez, I almost forgot. Since it's the first day of summer, we've got these Chula Vista Resort gift certificates. We're giving them away today.
We are?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. We love giveaways.
Because, Melissa, it is summertime. I'm going to do this all day. All day I'm doing this. Listen to this horn, though. There's few people that can play an instrument and you know it. You know the artist as soon as you hear the sound. You hear this, that's Satchmo. That's Louis Armstrong. And that's it. Iconic as it is. One of the more iconic, notable voices and trumpet players, musicians of all time. It's only outdone by this right here. Right here. I genuinely think it's one of the greatest songs ever written, ever performed. It's just beautiful. Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Summertime. Every day on this year, I have to listen to that song. It's one of those classics.
Yes, indeed.
Holds up. It holds up for me, at least.
Oh, for sure.
Something about that. And I think you can make the argument. Let's get this one started. Let's start on a little bit of a controversial note here. 715-424-2600. You got one pick. Greatest voice of all time. Most versatile, most beautiful, however you want to look at it, however you look at these things. Because I've said before, my favorite, for me, I can't decide between Billie Holiday and Patsy Cline. I love both those voices. Marvin Gaye is a close third for me. But if you're asking me who I think the greatest singer of all time is, and it's such a difficult thing to be able to try to figure out, last time we talked about something like this, we went down to, well, we got to go by genres. So if you want to do it that way, that's fine, too. But
yeah,
for me,
because you'd almost have to, but go ahead.
Yeah, for me, I've never heard anybody sing like Ella Fitzgerald. They can make almost every syllable in a word its own note, its own thing. Her versatility, everything, just incredible voice.
For me, it'd be a toss-up between Ella Fitzgerald and Judy Garland.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's shame on me. I should have thought of Judy Garland. That's a good one. A good one, Melissa. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's so many good ones, too, James.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
the...
It's hard to narrow it down.
That is the catch, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I like about these things, too, is there's no wrong answers. There's
right.
You know?
Because each of us individually have our own specific tastes and things we like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes it fun. Makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to something Kroger is doing that's kind of fun in a second here. But first, yesterday we had, I should say last night, we had our first of many virtual town hall meetings here at WFHR.
Oh, it was great.
It was really a fun time and a really good, successful opportunity and experience for us here at the station and for our listeners. We thank everybody that was able to send out shout outs and get us feedback. Mm-hmm. And we're looking, I did want to mention to anybody who was not able to attend, we're looking to do more of these.
Yes.
And
yes.
We
love hearing feedback from you and your thoughts and ideas. We had so many great ones come out last night.
Yeah. And what we'd like to do is going forward is kind of find out when would be a good time for you for us to do the virtual town hall.
Yeah.
What time of year, what time of day, what day of the week, all of the above. If you want to call up and let us know, that's fine. We can collect that information that way.
715-424-2600 or one-button dialing with the Civic Media app. Oh, and that's something I wanted to mention, James, that came out last night was one participant talked about how great the app is. It took them a while to get it downloaded, but once they did, they found it so easy to use and so convenient.
Yeah, I have to thank Civic so much for this app. One, it's got a nice alarm on it. It's got a couple of other features that I really enjoy. It's free. That is maybe its second best feature other than having all of our stations on it.
Right.
And that's something I like to do. I like to flirt around with the other stations and listen and see how things are going in Waukesha and other places.
Yeah, all across the state, because these are all stations right here in our state.
And Civic Media truly branches up and down the whole state, everybody. I also love it for Rafter baseball. Because I last night got to catch the last couple of innings of one of the cooler baseball games we're going to hear this summer. The Rafters were down in that game, came back late in the game. Nice home run to do it too, and he heard the whole thing. Andy did an amazing job with the calls and everything. I was able to catch it. I was busy bopping around and doing all these things, but I got my phone on me, so I just pull up the app and I'm able to hear the call, the play-by-play, and everything right as it happened.
Carry it in your pocket.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I mean, if you have pockets, James, being a man,
all of
your clothes have pockets. But let's not go down that rabbit hole.
One of our bigger causes around here: get women pockets, everybody. We got to come up with a name for that. By the way, we have to come. We should start a trend there. We're looking forward to doing more of these virtual town halls. Get us the information that we need from you as far as like when you would prefer to have these.
And you can share that right on our website to sign up for the newsletter, wfhr.com/newsletter. There's a space there where you can enter your ideas for our newsletter. You could enter times for when would be a good time for a virtual hall for you. It's just a text box, so put whatever you want in there.
Yeah.
And then share your email.
And appreciate the feedback so much from all of y'all. Mm-hmm. We really, really do. It adds to everything we do around here. And what we do is so much fun because of all of you.
Yes. And you can help us make this better.
Yeah, reach out to us, everybody. Looking forward to hearing from you. This Thursday is, of course, the summer solstice, which means it will be the longest day of the year with 15 hours of sunlight.
Wow.
To celebrate, the Kroger family of supermarkets is giving out 45,000 pints of free ice cream.
Well, good.
Yeah. To get yours, you'll need to go to freekrogericecream.com and download a digital coupon. Each voucher can only be downloaded today. So mark your count. Be sure to get on there today. And the biggest catch is that the promotion is not happening in every state. For some reason, it's not valid in California, Colorado, Idaho, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, North Dakota, Nevada, Tennessee, and Virginia.
Yikes. Those states don't have a solstice?
I'm pretty sure
they do.
Yeah. You ask them in Louisiana today how hot it's going to be, and I'm pretty sure that. But I don't know, to be honest, Kroger that well. I know that it's one of the more popular supermarket chains.
Well, it's one of the bigger supermarket chains.
Yeah.
And we only have a handful now because they keep buying each other out. That's why grocery prices are so high, people.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to tell you that this is inflation or this is something that a politician did or something like that. No, this is business. This is
CEOs buying up grocery stores, consolidating, and taking away choices from the people.
It's the game of Monopoly, a very, very dark and horrible version of Monopoly that is no fun for anybody. You are not getting free parking from this.
Did you know that Monopoly was created by a Quaker woman?
I don't think I did. Whoa, really?
Yeah. We should delve into the history of that sometime, because I think it's fascinating.
I'm literally putting that into my search bar right now so I can bookmark it and read it later. I'm reading up on that later. Oh, that's awesome,
Melissa.
Because
it's really neat.
We're looking forward to talking with you more, everybody. And if you're able to get this free ice cream, go for it. There might be some deals nearby. Go ahead and look into those.
And you don't actually, not all Kroger grocery stores are called Kroger's. Because they want you to think that we have a variety of grocery stores to choose from, but a lot of them are owned by Kroger's.
Yeah. Monopoly history. Monopoly is derived from the Landlord's Game, a board game designed and patented by Lizzie G. Maggie in 1904. Mm-hmm. She revised and renewed the patent on her game in 1924. Interesting. And this lady sounds... I'm bookmarking this. I'm going to be dead. All right, I got to check this out, everybody. I got to go ahead and start on it, and then I'll read up the rest later. Get ready for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's coming up right here with Melissa and James on WFHR's Morning Show. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Send it to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages as well. And, of course, call up.
Yeah, 715-424-2600 or one button dialing with the Civic Media app.
Looking forward to hearing your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Get them to us. We dive into our list for today. And Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
Let's go with 2.
All right. Gets us that qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish happy birthday to Whitney Jones.
Happy birthday, Whitney.
Enjoy your day, Whit. Hope it's a good one for you. Have a great one. And we wish happy birthday to Tommy Collins.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Tommy is as Irish as his name sounds. He laughed at that, so I just go ahead and went with it. But we appreciate the birthday. And Tommy got that into us this morning.
Oh, great.
So keep that in mind, everybody. You can get him into us at the last second.
The day of? Even right now.
Yeah. Please feel free to. We just want to have more and more of your birthdays to celebrate.
And if you don't want to talk on air, just message us.
Yep.
We do it through our Facebook pages or our email.
Yeah, that's a good point, Melissa. And our qualifier today, Mark Ferris.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Enjoy, Mark. Hope it's a good one for you. And brag about being our qualifier. I say
yes,
brag about these things.
Absolutely. We're getting close to the end of the month here.
We really are.
It's kind of crazy.
It's kind of snuck up on me. That, like, literally, I look over my shoulder at the calendar like, oh.
Surprise.
Oh, geez.
It's summer today, James.
Yes. Oh, summer. We take a look at our celebrity list. First up, Christopher Mintz-Plasse. He is 35. Many know him out there from the Kick-Ass movies and Neighbors, but I think most people would remember him as McLovin from Superbad.
I wouldn't. I haven't seen it.
He's one of those guys, that role is so iconic, the McLovin role, that he has a lot of people, like fans and everybody, call him that. They see him walking down the street and they'll call him that. And in a recent interview I saw with him, he was talking about how he likes that. He's good with that. You know, that's fans. He appreciates that he has a career, and that they remember him. But
well,
it's,
yeah.
He was also on the set of Celebrities in Mars or something like that. It was some show last year on Fox. I don't remember, but he was talking about it. And the producer of the show and the director of the show were calling him McLovin. And that was a little different. That was a little unprofessional. That was a little kind of, there's being typed, and then there's being typed by the industry. And I think that's a whole different ballgame. Grace Potter is 41, one of the sweeter, stronger voices you're going to hear. Indie band Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. Her song, I'm Never Go Back, is one of my favorites. I love that song. Every once in a while, I pull that one out and listen to it. But she has a version of White Rabbit that is really powerful. It's good.
I don't know that I'm familiar with her. I'll have to look her up.
Let me know what you think, because she's something. One of my favorite directors of all time, Robert Rodriguez, is 56. Directed Sin City, From Dusk Till Dawn, Desperado, the Spy Kid movies. Just a ton of great work. Robert Rodriguez is one of my favorites and one of my biggest influences, in part because he's such a visionary director. He is so incredibly detailed and smooth with his editing. He, like others of his genre, like to do their own editing and films. And that's just such an insane process, everybody. If you don't know anything about it, I understand that you don't. But it's hard, and it's not easy. And most directors will give this to, you know, somebody else, somebody that's their job.
Here, I filmed it all. No, here, make it work.
Yeah, yeah. guys like Martin Scorsese really were the first to start doing this, and many other directors kind of picked that up the mantle.
Well, imagine they have a lot more control over the final product if they do their own editing.
Yeah, yeah. Quentin Tarantino came out around the same time as Robert Rodriguez, and he's always kind of gotten the credit. I actually think Rodriguez is a more generational director and generational game changer than Quentin Tarantino is. Tarantino is kind of a one-hit wonder, if you ask me. not just on Pulp Fiction, I mean just his go-tos in every single film. Robert Rodriguez is such a vast, different way of directing and versatility.
And he's also a composer. He scores a lot of his own films.
Yeah, yeah. And not for nothing, Robert Rodriguez, like, you know, myself and many people out there, from a very young age, knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a director. He was like 10 and telling his parents he wanted to do this. And so much so that his first directing job was directing high school football games.
And really?
And he got fired after the first game. because for most people at watching sports, what you want to see is the plays on the field, of course. What Robert did was the quarterback dips back, cocks his arm, is about to throw it, and then Robert immediately like edits to the kid's parents and the looks on their faces and the looks of the fans and all these things. And then he flips back to the touch. He filmed it like a movie, and that's not what they were looking for. my favorite story of Robert Rodriguez, like I said, this is what he wanted his whole life, was to be in the Directors Guild. It meant more to him than anything. He also is a big fan of creativity and of the arts. And what he wanted to do with the Sin City movies was, look, the only way I could do this right is to have Frank Miller on set with me and to co-direct it with me. Frank Miller is the writer of the graphic novels of Sin City and one of the greater comic book writers of all time. People have been trying to make that Sin City movies for years and decades even, or years at least. Rodriguez got him to because they took it from the page and put it right on the screen and had Frank Miller co-direct it with him. The Directors Guild said, you can't do this. To which Robert Rodriguez said, okay, and ripped up his director's card.
Ooh.
Instead of giving in, instead of doing what he thought creatively was not the right thing to do, he did what the arts demand. And I can't imagine what that must be like. I couldn't even think about doing that to my SAG card. That thought can't even cross my mind. I admire that so much of what he did. The art came first, and I admire that. A heck of a director.
Well, and what about his 100 years?
Yeah.
The film that none of us will ever see because it's not going to be released until November 18th, 2115.
It's so weird. It's such an interesting thing.
It is an interesting thing. It's a short. It's a sci-fi film starring John Malkovich and several others. It's an international cast. But, you know, like, he filmed a film that nobody's going to see.
It's insane.
That's alive right now. I mean, within reason. Obviously, maybe a couple babies, but...
Right. It's just, that's such an amazing feat. And God, I'd love to know what that is. I don't care if it's good or not. I just want to see that. Nicole Kidman is 57 today. Fantastic actress.
All right.
Very good actress.
I enjoy her films.
Yeah, she is very versatile. Very good at what she does.
Moulin Rouge.
That's the one. That's the performance for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice run. Let's see here. A couple of bass players celebrating a birthday. John Taylor, 64, Duran Duran bassist. And Michael Anthony is 70, Van Halen's bassist.
Wow.
One of my favorite actors of all time, John Goodman, is 72 today. Walter and the Big Lebowski. Good. I mean, I'm not going to waste the audience's time and ramble through all of John Goodman's great movies. You know them all. Yeah. You know he's Dan Connor on Roseanne.
Everybody knows who he is.
Gotta love John Goodman. He's great.
But I do have to mention his voiceovers on Monsters Incorporated.
Oh, good one. Yeah. His voiceover work is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
And the Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So good.
I forgot. I just seen that one recently. That was I'd never seen it before, and I finally saw it. It was good.
Oh,
it was
really?
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good movie.
The llama.
Yeah. David Spade doing the voice of a llama is perfect. That's perfect casting.
He does it so well, too.
Bob Vila is 78 today.
Really?
Cuban-American home improvement TV host. He is best known, of course, for This Old House that ran from 1979 to 1989. Gotta love that show.
We watched that a little bit when I was a kid.
Mm. We watched it too. My papa and Nana and I would watch it and just enjoyed that show. His pace of that show, of his, being a host, is still some of the best you'll ever see.
Yeah.
That's a fun show too.
Mm-hmm.
Anne Murray.
And he's a great teacher.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. He really is. Yeah. Anne Murray is 79 today. Her song Songbird made her the first Canadian woman to have a track hit number one in the U.S. Anne Murray, it doesn't say this in the notes, but Anne Murray is also the first woman and Canadian to win Album of the Year. A couple of big things in Anne Murray's career that really stand out. She's a heck of a singer, heck of an artist. Speaking of which, Brian Wilson is 82. Mastermind. Beach Boys Mastermind. Good Vibrations, I Get Around. If you like a Beach Boys song, it's in major part because of Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And an interesting note about him, too. He's been deaf in his right ear his whole life. I think that's always an interesting note with musicians.
Yeah, that you seem to have I don't want to say disability, but something that you normally would think a musician would have, good hearing.
Yeah. it's always an interesting note, like Beethoven or things like that.
Yeah.
Some people no longer with us, like the amazing Olympia Dukakis, born on this day in 1931, passed away in 21. Won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for playing Cher's mom in Moonstruck. Was also with the late Danny Aiello and John Mahoney. Just an amazing actress, wonderful actress. And
yes,
speaking of John Mahoney, would have been celebrating a birthday today. Born in 1940, passed away in 2018. Many people know him as Frasier's dad on the TV show Frasier. And I don't blame anybody for that. I don't expect people to know Chicago theater or anything like that. But John Mahoney, along with John Malkovich and Amesha Taylor and George Wendt from Cheers, were the originators and the beginners of Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. When the theater first started, these guys had to like steal toilet paper from nearby gas stations just to put in
and
stuff. Today, most people that didn't know anything consider Steppenwolf Theater the Broadway of the Midwest. That theater is... I would turn down a movie role in a major picture to be on that stage. There's very few things that would mean more to me than working with Steppenwolf or anything. I've auditioned for them before. It's an incredible company. And John Mahoney is one of the more celebrated actors in Chicago. Go ahead and watch Frasier. Watch a scene or two of his from Frasier. And then go watch some from like a season or two later. That limp that he has in there did not have a limp in real life. But I guarantee you that every time you see him, that limp is the same.
It's consistent.
Just an incredible actor. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another one, Danny Aiello, another incredible actor. Famous for his Godfather Part II performance, but so many great ones. There's a line in there where he says, Michael Corleone says hello. One of the more iconic lines from The Godfather. He ad-libbed that. That was his. That's pretty cool. Chet Atkins, born in this day in 1924, country legend.
Country legend, yes.
That reminds me, be sure to check out Trail Tunes tonight at 7. Seth's wonderful show. Might have some Chet Atkins. Check that out every Thursday at 7 on WIRI Trail Tunes.
Yeah, 105.5 FM.
And we wrap up with Martin Landau, would have been celebrating a birthday today, born in 1928. Mission Impossible, the original Mission Impossible, one of the better actors that we've had. In 1995, he won a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for playing Bela Lugosi in Ed Wood. He won an Emmy in 07 for Entourage. But a lot, both of these awards were kind of given late, and a lot of people collectively kind of said, well, Martin Landau deserves an Oscar, so we're going to give him one. And I don't disagree with that. Martin Landau deserved an Oscar for other performances earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. The problem with it is, for me, that also nominated that year was Samuel Jackson for Pulp Fiction. And I think that's not only one of the greatest performances of the year, it's maybe single-handedly the greatest like supporting performance I've ever seen. And I thought, no way, he should not win. But they gave it to Martin Landau, and they do this as, well, Samuel Jackson will have another opportunity.
Yeah.
He hasn't been nominated since. And just because
it's just crazy.
It is. And it bothers me, too, because it hurts both of their careers and legacies in many ways. And it shouldn't. It's just a way that the Academy tries to correct things all the time that they got wrong. And if you got it wrong, just own that you got it wrong and keep moving. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe give Martin Landau a Lifetime Achievement Oscar or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a better job. Again, it's not saying Martin Landau was amazing in Ed Wood. He played Bela Lugosi like as good as Bela Lugosi would have, but it just wasn't as strong a performance. And I don't think that you should. I wouldn't, if I had never got anything in my life and somebody said, James, we're giving you a Lifetime Achievement Award for this, that I would be honored by. But if, hey, we're going to give you this award because we never have. No, keep it. Keep it, man. That's not how these things are supposed to work. And it's silly. They're awards. Come on. I mean, we put too much stock in some of these things anyway. One more time, wishing a happy birthday to Whitney Jones.
Happy birthday, Whitney.
Tommy Collins.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
To our qualifier, Mark Ferris.
Congratulations, Mark.
Encourage you to treat yourself and head on over to El Cafe. Wish him a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
Construction again.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And happy solstice.
Yes, happy solstice. And that is where we're going with the conversation. For those that haven't heard already at this early start of the day, it is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what does solstice mean? Solstice means the sun has gotten as high in the sky as it's going to get for this year. Approximately around 4:51 Eastern time that will happen.
Wow.
It's kind of cool that they got it right down to the dot.
Yeah, to the second.
It's pretty interesting. And the summer solstice is the earliest it's been since 1796.
Wow, like earliest in the year?
Yeah. Usually it's a decent rule of thumb that season starts on the 21st of the appropriate month, but that's not always the case. This year's precise moment of the solstice is particularly early. The simplest reason why is that in 2024, it's a leap year.
Okay.
During leap years such as this, the equinox occur about 18 hours and 11 minutes earlier than the previous year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. No one, these are just some random facts that I thought were interesting about the solstice, everybody. I figure most people are going to be talking about this, but we're going to talk about a different angle of it, of course, because that's what we do around
that's
here.
That's what we do.
When most people zig laugh, we go up.
Man, I was going down, James.
Oh, dang it. Oh, well, we got both covered.
Good.
No one knows who discovered the solstice.
No one knows?
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? The question of who first figured out that the longest day of the year corresponds to the sun's highest point in the sky is speculatory, unanswerable. According to Owen Gingrich of the Professor Emeritus in Astrology and History of Science at Harvard University.
Well, if you think about it, observations of the stars and the movement of the planets goes back so far, it would be hard to pinpoint who identified it.
Yeah. But the Egyptian Stonehenge is the earliest indication people knew about summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody remembers this about 6,500 years ago, you know, around there.
When we were just young pups.
Be young again. nomadic cattle herders in southern Egypt are thought to have arranged stones that lined up with the path of the solstice sun in order to be able to figure this out.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so cool.
It is.
Some solstice is a boom for solar energy, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Although it's fairly cloudy today, but yes, lots of sunlight on this day typically.
There is going to be a lot of people, in fact, more than any time of year, people doing golfing and going bird watching and doing yoga. This is the most popular time of year for that.
Yeah, they do a lot of special like yoga classes on this day in parks, and I'm sure inside, you know, yoga studios as well. But the salutation to the sun is a very popular yoga pose.
And this, oh yeah, that's right, yeah. And this year, the summer solstice corresponds with a record heat wave in many parts of the U.S., but it is not considered the hottest day of the year. The hottest temperature of the year usually takes place in July or late August.
July or August, yes.
Yeah, so that part is, you know, might be a blessing right there with the way the day is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one. There's a lot of interesting stuff from that one. I don't know. So when does summer start for you? We have the calendar version. We have the version that we kind of talk about media-wise. But when is your official start to summer, everybody? 715-424-2600. Join us and let us know.
Is it a festival? Is it when it's warm enough to stay outside for an extended period of time into the evenings? When does that happen for you?
Is there a certain time for you, Melissa, that stands out? Or is it just kind of, you know, when it happens, it happens?
When I can sit outside as the sun is going down and not, you know, be super cold, I think is pretty much that it's summer.
Great answer. Yeah. I think I'm similar to that. It's when I have to go out and cut the lawn. But in all seriousness, it's the smells that tell me it's summer. A freshly cut lawn or some of the other, you smell the river a little bit more from the heat or from the wind.
Yeah. Or when the ozone smell, when it's going to rain. That screams summer to me.
And I got to say, personally, my favorite thing when it is finally summer or nice enough out, it's putting on shorts. It's putting on shorts and my gym shoes, my Adidas.
What are you talking about, James? You wear shorts like year round.
The audience doesn't know that.
Well, they do now.
No, yeah. I would. I definitely would. If I had the legs for it, I would. I don't think I got the legs for weather. We will take a time out. We'll come back, have some more fun. When we get back, we're talking about how employers are luring workers back to the office.
With desks?
Yes.
That's so weird.
Talking about this revolutionary idea, desks, coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone.
One of the kings of music, Chuck Berry, right there playing us into the segment. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. We'll take you to the top of the hour with some fun conversation. Want to keep in mind, everyone, that not only in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have our Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society.
That's right.
Big thank you to our friends at Johnson & Sons Chrysler Dodge and Deep Dealership for sponsoring that. And we'll have some entertainment news, some other fun stories we want to get into. Definitely want to touch on this one, Melissa, about five. Got a good one here. Five old-timey slang terms we should bring back.
Ooh, yeah.
Melissa and I off-air have talked a little bit about slang here and there, and we've got some other ones, topics like this we're going to get to eventually, too. But this one I really wanted to hit on with you. I think it'll be fun. We'll have that in the 9 o'clock hour. And, oh, yeah, we're giving stuff away today. We've got two. I got two of them right here, Melissa. Chula Vista Resort gift certificates. These are good for a one-night stay in the junior suites.
Nice.
Also includes Chula Vista Resort water park passes for four.
Hey, cool.
What better way to kick off summer than to giving away some great things from our friends over at Chula Vista? And want to thank Pam Hilke for the idea. Pam thought of this, and we thought that's a pretty good idea.
Part of our station.
Yeah. Some workers love being in the office, and for some jobs, it's basically a necessity. But for some jobs, they can be done from anywhere. And employers are having a tough time coming up with incentives that make the office more appealing than the convenience of your home. A new report in Bloomberg says that employers have added perks like fancy coffee, yoga classes, DJ parties. Whoa. And now they have something new to dangle, giving an employee their own desk.
What would they have to share desks before?
I don't know. They were on the floor. They were
have no desk. You must just work right here. We give you table.
Here's a mat. Here's a mat to sit on. Over the past 5 years, some companies have transitioned to hot desking and setups, where workers grab a workspace when they show up, and then they can move around throughout the day. It's not really an organized spot. You know a little bit about this, Melissa. You're around here and stuff a little bit. Now you've got your office and everything. But for a while there, that's what you were doing. I know Chuck, our GM and engineer around here, was also doing something similar for a while. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a more modern, communal, adaptable working environment, but nobody likes it.
Because you don't have any place to put your stuff.
Yeah. People need places like that. Now
let me tell you, carrying your office with you everywhere you go is a pain in the tuchus.
Can't imagine. Yeah. Now the idea is that people are sick of bouncing around their home and using various surfaces as workspaces, and giving them their own dedicated desk is a way to win them over at the office again.
Yeah.
So this is a confusing perk.
Should have already been a perk.
Yeah. It's a little
and
bit.
And now they're bringing it back. Okay.
Like, I'm not a big believer in somebody deserves credit, like a pat on the back for doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I don't know where that happened in society where we started doing that, but it gets a little old to me. I get a little frustrated with this one. I don't know.
I agree.
It's this is not difficult to figure out perks to get people into the office. I don't think it's that difficult. If it is, then that tells you something. You know, it tells you something about the job, about the workspace, or just maybe about the employee or the job itself.
Yeah, I mean, and if they can be as productive or more productive from home, then why not?
What is the point of your business? Is it to make more business, to be bigger, better, more powerful? Is it to make more money? Is it to have good employees that create good work?
Mm-hmm.
Now this is what you got to ask yourself and how you're looking at this. If you're a business that doesn't mind having a revolving door of employees, then these kind of things I doubt are even going to matter to you. And certainly a desk seems like a very low hanging fruit, simple solution. I would, if I was an owner or running a company or anything like that, I genuinely, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I'm not brown nosing. That's just the color of my nose. I look at the way Sage has run a lot of things here, and how when he knows something is passionate and strong about it. When he doesn't, he leans on the people that do and looking to
surround yourself with smart people.
Yeah. And I think that's not rocket science, but not a lot of business, not a lot of CEOs, not a lot of people run their companies that way.
Well, no, they just want to be surrounded by yes men.
And let's see what's number one on the board. Childcare. Oh, look at that. Hey. Childcare, number one on the board. You want people to leave the home, maybe have somebody to watch their kids.
Yeah, that'd be a big one.
Seems like it, right, Melissa? Now, I'm no genius, and I imagine that's surprising to some of the audience. No, it's not. but I came up with that in 5 seconds. This is not rocket science, people.
You reached real hard for that one.
Yeah, I really had to dig deep for that one. certainly childcare is not going to be the thing to fix all of
this.
No,
it's not the end all be all, but it's a huge part of the puzzle.
Gonna fix a lot of it. A lot of different things. It's a domino effect. Person is able to leave the house, is able to work more. That business makes more. Our economy does better. Our taxes go lower, et cetera, et cetera.
And that child is in a safe environment, and depending on age, also an enriching environment that's helping them prepare for the next step in their, schooling or being able to start school. Those are important things, too, for the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is this idea that parents... parents can, I don't care if you got one kid, let alone if you got multiple kids, and I don't care if you have a significant other in the home or not. What we're talking about here is a lot of single parents. Go ahead, and I want somebody working from home to, if you don't have kids or don't have a pet or anything like that, I want you to find whatever you can think of as an equivalent of something that every 5 seconds is going to be trying to talk to you, trying to ask you questions or need you. Pets do this a little bit. People are what we're talking about, and children. Right. In a perfect world, this romanticized idea of the 40s and 50s and everything, where so-and-so goes to work and so-and-so stays home and watches the kids. That's part of the reason we're in the mess we are. And spoiler alert, everybody, things were a lot different in the 50s, and 99% of what you remember about that or you have heard about that is romanticized.
Well, and they could live on one income. I mean, houses cost less than $1,000 then.
The idea that this can be done without child care, without better child care, is I'm sorry, but the only time I'm hearing this from people are people that are not in this situation.
Yeah, because stay-at-home parents stay at home. That's a full-time job because they're interacting with the children. They're taking care of the home. I mean, we've lost the I don't know. We keep adding things to the plate, James.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so yeah, you can work from home and take care of the kids and take care of the home. And like, how many full-time jobs can one person handle?
Yeah.
Maybe in your 20s, you could handle two or three. Mm. But I'm sorry, in my 40s, I just would like one.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one, please.
Mm. Well, yeah, you know,
I'd like it to be able to pay my bills.
We talk a lot about mental health. We talk a lot about people not nobody on their deathbed said, "God, I'm glad I worked that overtime." Nobody, but we say these things, but we don't do anything about them. We don't put anything behind them. We don't actually work to make them better. And I looked this up, Melissa. We can, though. We have the power to.
We do have the power, James.
We got this thing called our voting power. And our ability to vote and our ability to get people into office that are thinking about these things, that are caring about these things, that are listening to their constituents, and that are trying to do right by the American people, by the American people.
Right. And who maybe have life experience that lends to understanding those of us who are living this situation now. How many of those people making the decisions right now have children at home? Are worried about childcare, are single parents who are trying to raise a family by themselves. Mm-hmm. I think the population in our government is pretty small.
Yeah, yeah. And most of these people that even are in those situations have somebody watching their kid, have a caregiver or something like that. Or
healthcare. Their healthcare is paid for. Yeah. They don't have to deal with what we have to deal with.
Mm. We like to wrap up our hours on a palate cleanser, and got an interesting one here. San Francisco's new tourism pitch. The big heat dome is cooking a lot of America here. 250 million people could see temps over 90 this week.
Oofta.
So San Francisco's new pitch to tourists is basically, hey, it's not as hot here. That's it.
That's kind of alluring.
Expected highs in San Fran throughout most of next week are around 65.
Oof.
The Wall Street Journal The Wall Street Journal did a big write-up on a billboard that just went up near Fisherman's Wharf that says, it's cooler than the bay, and hotels are using the same tactic. Beat the heat in San Fran. Mild summers in San Francisco are not new, even though they probably didn't say this. He didn't say this. There's an old quote attributed to Mark Twain, "The coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco."
Yeah,
that's actually a really good quote too.
Good quote,
Mark Twain. God, a great quote, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of interesting. I think this is, we can get into climate change and all that, but we only got a minute left to show the hour.
Let's look at the positives of
this. Yeah, yeah, and I love the basicness of this. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't do the spend $1 million on marketing or anything like that to come up with this. you know, they didn't bring in a support or a group of people.
Consulting team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything like that. It's just, hey, yeah, it's not as hot here as it is in the rest of the state or country. I think we should just go with that. Is that good with everybody? All right, let's go home.
Let's go. I think that's great.
Yeah, I like this. I like that idea. I like the idea of y'all stopping by and picking up one of these pamphlets for the Cranberry Blossom Festival that kicks off today. Lunch by the River is where everything kicks off, everyone. And this
it's
is a fun
11:30.
There is literally a billion things to do during Cranberry Blossom Fest. There's so much fun. We'll talk a little bit more about this later and how you can even see some of our staff at the Cranberry Blossom Fest.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be getting that in the 9 o'clock hour. But you come by, pick up one of these pamphlets, pick up a rafter schedule while you're at it as well, and say hi to Pam.
Say hi to Pam, yep.
Mm-hmm. And pick one up and map out your plans for this amazing signature event in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down to Rapids and have a good time, everybody. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.